You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where God is true, man is sinful, and the church, well, it needs fixed.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship wraps up a series exposing the most controversial doctrines in the church. Would you believe that Christians actually disagree when it comes to major doctrines like tithing, God's will, holidays, politics, science, and the Bible itself? Well, stay with us to hear why those doctrines are so controversial among Christians and how the problems can be resolved.
When your mama taught you manners, she said, whatever you do at the dinner table, don't talk about religion or politics, right? And this list tells you why. Because religion, and now I use the term loosely, referring to the Bible and doctrines and dogmas, are controversial. They're offensive. They divide. And thus, in polite company, when you're trying to enjoy your meatloaf, it could really make dinner go down wrong, you know. So don't talk about religion and politics. Well, that's not what we're meeting here. We're meeting here to learn right doctrine. We're learning here to study the Bible. And the function of church should be to grow in the knowledge of the truth, which means we need to address what the Bible says. The fact that what the Bible says is controversial to people in and out of the church should make no difference. And yet there's lots of people who are shocked that there are controversies, that the Bible is offensive, as if God should not be offensive to people. And yes, he should not be, but he is. And that's because we live in a present evil world, which, if you're being caught up in the history of things, has rejected God, you see, entirely. They rejected God before the flood. They rejected God after the flood. God created a nation. That nation rejected God. God himself came to this world. They killed him. He sent his spirit. They persecuted that church. They sent Paul, and they killed the apostles and early believers throughout the centuries. This world has rejected the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. Okay, and so we really should not expect anything less than a world in opposition to us. So by being here this morning, even though we live in a country of freedom and religious freedom, you're taking a position contrary to the world, contrary to the majority, contrary to what's popular, what is seen as the status quo. Okay, so that's one reason why we're dealing with this morning, is to just to explain that it shouldn't be a shock to you that there's disagreements because of what the Bible teaches, but more specifically within the church. The doctrines we'll deal with this morning are controversies within the church, and so many are shocked that Christians disagree on things. Maybe they're new to Christianity. Maybe they haven't studied too much about Christianity. Maybe they're not familiar with any Christianity outside of their small Christian bubble. So they think, well, Christians disagree on things? It must be trivial matters. It must be things that aren't important. Well, this just shows that you haven't really surveyed the landscape. Okay? Christians disagree on lots of things. There's lots of controversies, debates, disputes within the church. We'll speak about it briefly, but I'm not going to deal with things outside the church that are controversial. Okay, so we're not dealing with the atheist claim, does God exist or not? Everyone in the church believes God exists, I hope, except for those fake pastors who are atheists in the pulpit for a paycheck. But, you know, we won't deal with them this morning. There's lots of disagreement. And number two, how do you deal with it? It's not enough just to say there is disagreement. Well, what do we do as Christians? I mean, aren't we supposed to be, as Trevor taught this morning rightly, one body? Aren't we supposed to be one church? There shouldn't be 1,000 denominations. So what are we to do about it? Do we ignore the controversy? Do we deal with it? Do we forget it? Do we diminish it? What happens? You know, should we be divisive? How do we deal with the controversies? And one of the things that we often talk about, and one of the things that we use to introduce people to the idea of dispensationalism, is tithing, which is a controversy, right? It's the most fraudulent, controversial doctrine. Everyone knows Christianity is about the money, right? It's all about the money. And when Creflo Dollar, what was a $60 million plan that he wanted? And his excuse was that he had to fly to Africa to minister to people, but just happened to be like the most luxurious plane you can buy to do that? I mean, why do you need that extra, you know, refrigerator in that plane just to fly to Africa? You know, well, $60 million. So God provided, apparently, as he got it. But you all know how. By manipulating people to give money. And this is what, again, people see Christianity as being. They look on TV and televangelists, and they see that people are claiming that you can get God's blessings. You get 100 blessings for $100, right? You know, give tenfold, and you get tenfold blessings. And so if you do it now, call this number and donate on the phone, then I will say a special prayer for a blessing for you, because they think that's God's anointed on the TV screen. And, wow, you say, well, my pastor didn't do that, but your pastor still taught tithing, right? And why did he do that? Did he teach the law was necessary? Oh, no. He was a good Baptist preacher. He taught salvation by grace, right? Oh, then why are you tithing again? Because that's a law doctrine. Oh, I got to get money somehow. Yeah, but tithing puts you under a curse, you understand? Paul teaches grace giving, and he says to give generously. In fact, we ought to give money for the Lord's work and give time, more importantly, to the Lord's work. But tithing, it was a law that required you give 10%, and in response, God would bless you. And if you don't, you'll be cursed, Malachi chapter 3. Remember, you've robbed me, tithes and offerings, Malachi 3? So why, if you're a grace preacher, if you preach the gospel of grace, even if you're a Baptist, why would you go back to the law and teach that thing? Why not be honest with people and say, it's not a requirement, it's not a necessity, because they want your money. That's why it's fraudulent. Even nice people can be insincere at times, right? And when it comes to money, and paying that bill, and their family, and their children, and the pastors putting their kids through college, I mean, why wouldn't you give money? So we're going to overlook his insincere, disingenuous, doctrinal presentation, because, you know, the pastor's kid needs to go to college. Well, help him if you feel in your heart you need to give generously to that purpose. But you know what? It is wrong for that person to manipulate you with wrong doctrine. Maybe there needs to be some correction going on there. Someone says, hey, you preach grace. Why don't you stop teaching tithing? You know, teach generous giving. I'll give you some money right now. I mean, I want you to have it. But don't teach tithing anymore. Right? This confuses people. And there are good people in the eyes of the world who think that they're good with the Lord because they gave money. The tithe. They gave their tithe. And they're taught that from pulpits. They say, when you tithe, you're fulfilling God's covenant. Oh, well, good. That seems easy. I pay for my maid. I pay for my lawn to be mowed. I pay to tithe to get into heaven. Easy. Easy thing you can do is pay money. Right? And it's the quickest way to not understand the gospel. It's the most fraudulent. I get irked about that one. There's the Sabbath day, which is the most traditional one. You got the Seventh-day Adventists who disagree on what day the Sabbath day is. We all know it's Sunday. I mean, that's the way that's the day the Lord observed, right? No, he was a Jew. There was no such thing as a Christian Sabbath. Sabbath was the seventh day, of course. But the bigger question is, do we have to observe the Sabbath? Now, you say, well, this is kind of a minor, trivial issue. Well, when you kind of enlarge it to realize that the Sabbath keeping was one of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments even, not the 600, the top 10. And that's what people are fighting to put in front of the courthouse. Is it important or isn't it? You see, now we got a controversy. Because I want those commandments in my schools. Well, we don't have to keep the Sabbath. Shh. You got to keep that commandment there. Right? It's the most traditional. And if we go to church on Sunday, that's good for the rest of the week too. Right? This is controversial. Are you a Sunday Christian or aren't you a Sunday Christian? You've heard the messages. Well, what is God's will for our life? Well, that's a controversy. Nobody knows that. You can't tell me what God's will is for my life. The Bible can. And it has. It's revealed God's will. If you rightly divide it, it's in Ephesians 1, verse 9, 10, and 11. It's in Ephesians 3. Okay. It's in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But people don't want that. They want to know what God says about their marriage partner, their career choice, right? Where they ought to live, how many houses they need to buy. Right? God, tell me these things. Right? And so God's will is the most elusive controversial doctrine, but it is controversial. But Christians are coming around on this one. It's amazing. I mean, we're coming around. There are more people out there teaching that Jeremiah 29 is not used properly when you use it for yourself. He was talking about Israel. And this is amazing because they're not dispensational, but they're realizing that we shouldn't be quoting that verse, Jeremiah 29. And so God's will is a controversy. Can't get much more controversial than talking about hell when you're talking to unbelievers. But I put on the list of controversies in the church because even in the church, there's people who have problems with sin. They don't know how to deal with it when it happens. They don't know how to deal with it in their life. Some Christians teach and think that once I become a Christian, I don't sin anymore. They think that wrongly. So sin's a controversy in the church. Now, I thought the church was the place where we get sin dealt with, where, you know, I mean, Christ died for our sins. I mean, we have to be the experts on two things, death and sin. Jesus and the Bible and all that. We should be experts on that. But in the church, there's a controversy on how to deal with sin. You know, is judgment real? Is God going to judge you? How does he judge you? We simply don't know. It's a controversy. It's an unknown. Okay. Future events. Sin and hell is the most offensive controversy. Future events, this is the most speculated because there's been so many times people date the rapture and date the end times. And every time something bad happens in the stock market, someone's saying, oh, the end is here. You know, we shouldn't be doing that as Christians. But that's a controversy when I say that. Well, the Bible says prophecy is going to happen and the next president's going to be the Antichrist. Right? That one's true. Well, it was true last election, too. Right? And the election before that. But we're still here. What about holy days? This is the most practiced by the world. I mean, Christmas wars, anybody? Merry Christmas, happy holidays? You say, this is not controversial Christianity. Everybody wants to say Merry Christmas. Well, not exactly. There's a lot of people who name the name of Christ who don't do holidays. I mean, for good reason. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Why do you do it? Tradition. Everybody does it. Well, that's naivety. Not everybody does it. But the world does it. I mean, there are people in the world that practice the same sort of Christmas traditions you do. So where's Christ again in this? Well, we call it Christmas, not Xmas. Well, yeah, X was the Greek letter for Christ. I mean, what's the difference here? You know, so anyway, holidays, that's another issue altogether we can deal with. But it's the most practiced by the world, which brings us to politics when we talk about the world. No, I'm not talking about politics. We'll talk about the politics in the world later, but here are politics within the church. Church governments, right? How do we vote for things? How should the church respond to nations? This is the most Jewish controversial doctrine because a lot of evangelical Christians think that we ought to still obey Genesis 12, verse 3 and support the nation of Israel and we'll be blessed, right? Well, there's need to rightly divide that because there is no Israel today. Israel has fallen spiritually. Yeah, there's a nation of Jews over there, and they got a lot of weapons, and they got some land, and they're in controversies and battles of their own. But the church has no obligation today, okay, to raise Israel's nation up because God has made that promise himself. The church has another mission. The church's mission is to see those Jews saved by God's grace. But how much money that we donate to Israel is doing that, preaching the gospel of grace? Well, they got their own religion, and it's Jewish. It's in the Bible, you know. Well, yeah, but it's not the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, what mission do we have as the church? Is it political, or is it the gospel? Because I think that it's the same thing. The gospel is political. It's delivering people from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son when you get people saved by the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. Politics, the word means power. It's a power word. Okay. So when you're involved in politics, you're talking about the power, control, authority. That's what politics means. It's a power struggle. Political battles are power battles, right? And God is involved in politics. He is the creator of the world, and he sent you as an ambassador. That is a political title. And I don't know why we don't respect that more. You say, well, we're grace believers. We don't do politics. You do. You're an ambassador, you see. An ambassador means you're not a citizen of this world. You represent another world, another place. Does that mean you have no opinions about them? No, you got opinions. They're from the Bible. You represent Jesus Christ on earth, but you're not trying to establish his kingdom. Ambassadors aren't trying to rule the country that they're in. They're the ones that advise the country according to their home country. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be taking a stand on the truth of the doctrine. And what is the power we represent? The right voting block, you know. Get the Catholics together and the Protestants. If all the Christians would vote the same way, we'd win every time. Well, yeah, 90% of the country thinks they're Christians. Think about that for a second. 90% of the country thinks they're Christians. Less than half even vote, right? The political battle we have in our country is not with Christians and non-Christians. It's with Christians and Christians. Wow. Wait a minute. That'll change your idea of the church, right? Apparently there's controversy in the church. Yeah, there is. There's disagreements on doctrine. On what we ought to be doing. And so politics is an issue. Today in the headlines you read about gender identity, but this is over and beyond gender roles. I mean, that's archaic, right? But in the church there's still this controversy going on between family, marriage, and gender roles. I mean, inside the church you raise that up. Are you a complementarian or are you not, you know, in marriage? About what role do wives actually have? You know, it's always wives. It's never the men. And the questions I get online, I get a lot of these questions about, you know, what about wives and what do the women have to do and this sort of thing. And I've never got a question from a woman. What does man got to do? You know, what? Because it's always the justification for enslaving someone else, you know, telling someone else what to do. And the question of what women ought to do is always from men, which is interesting. I'm like, why are you asking about women? You know, I advise them about what husbands ought to do and things like this, you know. But just talking about marriage roles, gender roles, family responsibility, this is controversial in the church, right? Maybe you ought to let kids do what they want. Maybe, you know, husbands and wives, they're equal authority. You know, maybe there is no difference in the roles. Controversy, right? You're hearing it? It's everywhere in the church. If we can't discern the God-given roles between a husband and wife, what makes us think we communicate marriage to people who aren't in the church? Whoa. Mind blown, maybe? Why do we have cultural problems? We got church problems, that's why. We got doctrinal issues. We got controversies that aren't resolved because Christians aren't talking about truth. When you deal with the marriage issue in society, what do you talk about? We believe in one man, one woman marriage, right? What about this? We believe in Jesus Christ, and the Bible is God's word. See, let's not deal with the marriage issue. It will. Because Jesus Christ said, in the beginning, he made the male and female, right? It's not about the marriage, folks. Their issue is not about marriage. Their issue is with Jesus and the Bible. That's their issue. And that's the message you ought to be saying. The first stand with unbelievers is not about marriage. They've been doing whatever they want to do since the beginning of the time, right? The message you preach is Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And the Bible is God's word. And if you don't listen to it, there's problems coming, right? In this dispensation of grace, God's giving you grace. That's the message we preach. And when they hear you say Jesus Christ from a political debate, they will turn off the tuner, right? You can't say that on TV. All right, well, we'll say Jesus. We'll just say marriage. Biblical worldview, you know. Biblical, that's too, you know, controversial. Christian worldview. A worldview of faith. How's that? That's good. It includes the Jews, right? You see how it happens? How the message is diminished? Our message is so clear. You say, oh, this is hard. I don't know about all these doctrines. I'm not even persuaded about all of them. Well, that's why we meet together here. But it's really very simple. Paul says, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Preach that. Preach that. And your culture will change. People try to redeem the culture, and they say, we need to redeem this culture for Jesus. And they never mention Jesus again. As Christians go and do the things of the culture and say, look, we're Christians, we do the same things, and we're trying to redeem the culture, you know. Christian this and Christian that. Well, why don't you just do what God told you to do, and then the culture will change when you see souls saved and saints edified. All right, that's how you change them. You don't change them and attract them because you look like them, and they say, hey, that Christian looks kind of like me. Christians are cool, you know, maybe I'll be a Christian, you know. Because they don't know what it means to be a Christian. What you do is you preach Jesus, and immediately they know what it means to be a Christian. And he talks about Jesus a lot. And he reads that Bible a lot. It seems like everything he does, because he says the Bible says it, you know. Yeah, that's it. Being a Christian is believing in Jesus and doing what the Bible says, rightly divided. That's what it is. And that's the message we ought to preach. Family, marriage, gender roles. But you know, when you're talking about homosexuality, the NIV and the ESV version put that word homosexual in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. So it's really useful to use the NIV when you're witnessing to a homosexual, because you can open 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and say, see here, because homosexuals are sinners. And that's helpful, right? But it's a translation issue, because in the King James Bible, you don't find the word homosexual anywhere. This is why it's old and archaic and should be thrown in the trash bin in history, right? Well, actually, there's a Bible translation issue in the church. Which version do we use? And in the King James Bible, it doesn't say homosexual. It says something a little more all-encompassing than just practicing homosexuality, as the ESV says. Or offending homosexuals that offend. Well, what if you're a homosexual that doesn't offend? I guess that's okay. I'm not practicing. I'm committed. I'm professional. Well, what? So, I mean, what is this identifying, this one thing here? Well, in the King James Bible, it says those who defile themselves with mankind. That covers a lot more than just homosexuality. But you get the idea. Sexual defilement is the problem. And it's a defilement, which gives it a value judgment, not just if you practice homosexuality. Yeah, my off days. It's defiling yourself. And it adds the word effeminate, which is something else in the list not included in the ESV and NIV. And I only bring that up to point out that there's differences in Bibles. And if we can't decide on where God's word is at and what it says, then how are we supposed to communicate it to people? This is a serious issue, the Bible version issue. But it's the most misunderstood. Because people think, why are you trying to limit the Bible to just one book? Like, can't we just get a book that's a little easier to read? Right? Well, it's not about the readability. It's about the authenticity of the book. It's about the preservation of the book. And if God wrote a book, and it was one book, shouldn't it be one book now? If the books are different, we got 100. How did it get from one book that God wrote to 100 now? That seems to be kind of strange, you see. And they say different things. And who do we include? The message? Have you read the message? I mean, there's a lot left out of that thing. A lot changed in that thing. And so when the last 12 verses of Mark are missing in that Bible, well, now there's a controversy. Do they belong there or don't they? John MacArthur says they don't belong there. You know, I think they do. So you have this Bible version issue. And that's something you need to understand, because you're holding a Bible in 2016. You're not holding the originals. So what do you believe about this book written by men, as the world says? Do you believe God preserved it? Or do you think it was just happened to be found, and we hope that it is closest until we find something else in the dirt? Well, anybody can find something in the dirt. Or do you believe that this is the book God has preserved through history, and that's why we have it today? See, well, Bible version issue matters. We won't spend all that time talking about creation. You already know the controversy with that. That's the most scientifically researched controversial doctrine. Okay? It's really a very simple deal with creation. There's a lot of creationist apologetics we love here in the science, because science is fun. I mean, it's interesting to learn about science. But the question is really this. Is science infallible? Can science be wrong? Can the Bible be wrong? That's the issue. Can the Bible be wrong? Can science be wrong? Who's the authority here, the Bible or science? Because I don't think they contradict. And if the scientist says they do, science is wrong. You see, the Bible is right. Work on your science again. And I don't know how many times, I keep a list of them, I don't know how many times science has corrected itself. And the atheist says, yes, that's how it works, it corrects itself. Well, great, I'm glad it does, but that means they're wrong frequently. Right? The Bible is infallible, never wrong. You see, that's a belief. That fixes the creation issue. Right there. Because you no longer have to bow to science that's going to change in 10 years or 2 years or next year. You have a book that doesn't change. And it's not a science book, but it deals with the issues of that science explores. And it tells us those things. Which leaves us with the last controversial doctrine, which is not that controversial because it's the most ignored doctrine, which is Paul's apostleship. And if people recognize the apostleship of Paul and the revelation of the mystery given to him, and were able to rightly divide the scripture, a lot of these controversies would go away. Okay? And so when you talk about Paul, and you talk about the Bible rightly divided, it will be controversial. Okay? It will be something that will cause contention. People will be offended. Not everyone. And you're trying to get people saved. You're not trying to be an offense. But when you speak the truth, people will be offended. You will start contentions. There will be controversy. There will be disagreements, because that's the nature of people who are lying to themselves when they hear about the truth. Right? People have been told lies and they hear about the truth. Because when you let God be true and every man a liar, that includes you. That includes your neighbor. Every man a liar. Do you really believe that or don't you? That means you're wrong and there's things wrong about me and there's things wrong about that guy. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us that, hey, you're wrong. Me too. Yeah, don't worry. We're in the same boat. Everybody's wrong, God's true. There's a right and there's a wrong. You ought to expect that. See, none of these things are in the headlines. I mean, these doctrines, I understand the controversies in the church, but in the headlines, what do we read about all the time? We're blasted with the debates in our culture, which is on the back of your outline. I'm not going to talk about these. Bathrooms. That's the cultural debate. Bathrooms. This is not a church doctrine. I don't know when the last time was I heard a church sermon on which bathroom to use. But this is the cultural debate. But where do these things come from? I mentioned to you before, they come from a weakness in the church not establishing belief in Jesus Christ and the Bible. That's the issue. Marriage, homosexuality, abortion, Islam, immigration, Merry Christmas, health care and contraception, that's what they fight in the Supreme Courts. And I'm glad God's greatest minister of the last century was, who's the owner of Chick-fil-A? Hobby Lobby, Steve Green, right? That there's a Christian man. He's a businessman. Yeah, he's saved. I hope he's saved. Great, he's saved, right? But it's his business. And he's taking his values and putting it in his business. He's not a theologian. He's not holding a Bible study in Hobby Lobby. Not that I know of. Right? We're a church, folks, and he's part of it if he's saved. And we need to have, we have a message that's more than just Happy Easter. He makes an ad once a year for Easter. It's Jesus Christ. He plays Christian music in his store, but he sells flowers, fake ones. Right? Great. He's got money. He's able to use that. But we have a message to preach as the church, every one of us. Religious displays, prayer in schools. And now it's graduations of football games that they debate the prayers in. Separation of church and state, creation, God's existence. This is the cultural debate. Evangelism at all. I mean, if you say, you try to get someone else to believe what you believe, you're shoving it down their throat. This is the cultural debate. Mentioning Jesus Christ, can't do that in schools. Can't do that on TV. You can't mention Jesus. You can say God. Right? That's the cultural debate. That's why I love singing songs with you folks here, because we can say Jesus all the time. We can talk about Jesus, and we believe in him, and we trust him, and he's both our saviors, you know. So it's great to have that like-mindedness, and this is the message we preach, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And if we believed that, that it was the power of God unto salvation, we wouldn't be so concerned with the political positions that people take on these cultural debates, because we would say to every one of them, Justin, what's your answer to homosexual marriage? Justin, what's your answer to the God's existence, which some seem to question? My answer, not to be political, is that of Ronald Reagan. And he's not our savior either. He said, contained in the Bible is the answer to all of man's problems. I agree, Ron. Right? There are things I disagree with him on. But I agree. The Bible has the answer to all of man's problems, and the power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's going to save our country from these problems? Bathroom wars. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That sounds kind of churchy. Yeah, that's the message Christ has given us, and that will fix it. That will fix it. Okay? Fix it a lot more than a law would. North Carolina, they're doing the best they can, you know. They need the gospel preached. They need some help from the church preaching the gospel. Controversy exists. It's not over the minor doctrines. It's over major things. We've got to be engaged, folks. We cannot be ignorant of these things. We cannot be not engaged in these issues. If we're going to stand for truth, which is what God's will is, to have men come to the knowledge of the truth, to speak the truth in love, to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, then there will be contention. All right? And the good news is it's not that hard to stand for truth. I've already mentioned to you, you preach Christ and him crucified. You let God be true and every man a liar. You know that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for the man of God to be perfect, thoroughly furnished. You know those things? It's the Bible. It's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of grace. That's your message. You don't have to know 1,000. You know that. That's what you know. That's the answer. God has told you it's the answer. Okay? That's why you're here. That's how your mind was changed. Right? Maybe some of the traditions you grew up with have changed because of your reliance on the scripture. This is how you were changed. It was God working in you. So controversy can be resolved. People do learn. You're evidence. I'm evidence. People do grow. They do mature when the truth is spoken. We just can't expect everyone to learn and be on the same page where the Lord comes. We shouldn't have that expectation, but we do the best we can. Paul says evil men wax worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13. He says we'll face persecution, but our job is to communicate, is to educate, is to equip workmen that needeth not to be ashamed.
You just heard the conclusion of the most controversial doctrines in the church. To listen to the entire series and more, visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com, and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we heard the conclusion of the most controversial doctrines in the church. Join us next week as Pastor Justin Johnson answers your questions about the Bible. And don't forget to visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.